Dawood, I wanted to test my Farsi with Zubair and not with you. Do you know why?
Why?
Because he's a native speaker, not like you. You have to admit that.
Yes, sir, you lost on weight. Are you on a diet or something?
Yes.
Yes?
Your Farsi is tainted by all the other languages and dialogues and places you lived in.
You lost your identity, Dawood.
How about your Arabic? How native is your Arabic?
It's getting worse because off camera, I don't speak to Arabic people except my family.
Our informative podcast about the situation related to the so-called refugee crisis in the world. We have this special focus of our podcast on Europe. However, ever since we started season 3, we have been focusing predominantly on the situation outside Europe. And today will be no exception, because as you know, or as you will know in a moment, Fractured is a project of Refocus Media Lab's citizen journalists. Most of our citizen journalists have a refugee background themselves. And a large group of those citizen journalists come from Afghanistan. On October 7th, a massive earthquake hit Afghanistan, to be precise, western province of Herat. This has been in our hearts, however, it has not been much in the global news. So today, because our community of citizen journalists is so passionate about reporting those topics that are underreported, and because so many of them are Afghans, we are gonna speak about the situation in Afghanistan after the earthquake. However, with me, my co-host Rashid Galim.
Welcome, everyone.
We are not going to speak about the political situation much, right, Rashid?
Yeah, we're going to focus mainly on the humanitarian side, what's happening right now under this disaster in Afghanistan, how people are dealing with this, how they are feeling there. But for people, for our listeners who wants to know about the political side, we have dedicated 3 former episodes in season 1, season 2 about the people in Afghanistan under the Taliban. We did one after 6 months, one after 1 year, one after 2 years. So I highly advise for people to go and listen to them because they are very, very important to understand the general idea about the situation. Mm.
We have 2 amazing guests today with us in the studio. I want to thank them very much for finding time in this difficult situation to connect to us. First guest connects with us from Germany. Yasser Taheri is our alumni of Refocus Media Labs. He's our citizen journalist who currently studies filmmaking in Leipzig. Welcome very much, Yasser, to our podcast. I think this is the first time you're in our podcast.
Thank you so much, Sonia, for having us on this podcast, on this episode, and also talking about this issue, which is not being talked about so much these days, and we really appreciate this.
We invited you because you yourself, you are from Herat, your family is from Herat, and you are engaged in aid being provided from Europe. So we want to talk to you a little bit about that. But before this, I want to introduce our other guest who is connecting to us from Afghanistan, Zubair Ahadi. Zubair is engaged in aid there on the spot in Herat. Zubair, thank you very much for finding time and welcome to Fractured Podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad that I'm here and thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with the basic situation. This horrible earthquake of 6.3 magnitude killed 6,400 people at least. We don't have full numbers. Many became homeless. Many are injured. The whole villages are basically leveled to the ground. There's a massive problem with food, with shelter. Zobair, can you describe us the situation right now in Herat? How is it? How are people doing? And what was the situation when the earthquake happened?
Thank you, Sonia. Actually, it is right now terrifying. Everybody's terrified and they don't know what to do, what is going to happen next. It's almost 7 days that everybody's outside their home and they don't dare to go back to their houses. And everything is...
Zobair, thank you very much for this first first information. I want to ask...
I'm so sorry.
Hey, no worries.
There's no stable net connection right here. I think you can understand that. I'm sorry for the loss.
Absolutely, we totally understand. We just want to make sure that we can get any information you can give us. Zobair, we want to continue with you first because we read those really interesting and also very sad statistics saying that 90% of people who died are actually women and children. And this was something very surprising to us. Because we were like, how come were men not affected that much by this earthquake?
Actually, it is because that the life in villages are somehow that everybody is busy with agriculture. And mostly men are working outside. It was around maybe 10 or 11 a.m. that this earthquake happened. That was the exact time when people are working on their grounds, on whatever they are making or providing. And that's why that men were outside. And the reason that most of people who died are women and children.
Thank you.
I also read that when the first one hit, some people were outside and they thought it was an explosion, a bomb. So they went to their houses and then the second one hit and they were dead. So this happened for some people. Yeah,
that's right. Because there are lots of news about a nuclear war or something like that. And people are afraid of that. Even the people are not following that much news, but they are afraid of that kind of stuff. That's why they were running towards their home. And that was when the second earthquake happened and the number of dead people increased.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you both a personal question? How are your relatives, your friends? Is everybody safe from your families?
Yes, they are fine, but afraid. They are really terrified. And they don't dare to come back to their houses until now. And I'm the only one, as I mentioned before, that living in my house. Nobody is living here, and they are all living outside.
Mm-hmm. Yasser, how about you, your friends, your family, your contacts in Herat?
My family and my friends are fine, but unfortunately, my people are not so fine. And it's what we feel deep in our hearts. But friends and family, they are fine. I've been in contact with Zubair and another friend of mine, Hijran. Most of the time, they have to get out of their houses. And however, Zubair sometimes stays at home to do the things at home, for example, charge the phones or the things that are needed, but most of the times they have to get out of their houses. And maybe later Zubair can also show his room. It's almost fallen apart.
Question about Herat province in general. Can you describe this place for us, for people who are Westerners, who have no idea how this area looks like, so that from architectural point of view, we can imagine how this tragedy could happen? How are the buildings there? How people built, with what? What was the situation before the earthquake?
Actually, it was quite normal. Everything was going
almost normal, but if we do not consider the political conditions, everybody was living their lives, and when this happened, nobody was ready for that. And maybe because there was no such thing as earthquake before in this province, that is why there is no rescue team, and lack of a professional rescue team was the main reason that we had this much high number of dead people. And it was a good place to live. I mean, a good weather, hospitable people, and a very nice place to live. But now it is just somewhere that everybody is trying to live here for the sake of their lives.
May I add something? So in Herat itself, the city Herat, the houses are constructed with cement, so they are quite strong. But the villages is where we have most of the casualties, because those houses are made out of clay, mm-hmm. and they fall apart so fast. And this is also a problem that we cannot also help the people who are under these constructions, because now they are just dust, and when you try to pick it up, you can't pick anything up. And it's very much possible that there is someone, but you can't pick anything up. Yes. But the center, the city, Zubair is living in the city of Herat. He's not living in the villages, not in the center, but he's not in the villages. This is why his house looks like this. But in the villages, mostly because, as Zubair said, it's the farmers who are living there, the people who are working in agriculture, and they cannot afford houses, so they are building it with clay, and that's the reason that they collapsed.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more than 20 villages were hit by this, and most of them, they were wiped out. Imagine going back to your home after a day of work and you see the whole village wiped out. Imagine this feeling. So my question to Zubair and Yasser is, we saw that the international, like, people, other countries trying to help. So is the international help getting to the people, and who's responsible for it?
There is no specific answer to this question, because everybody is somehow advertising for donations, and everybody is saying that we are going to help these people. But there is no specific such thing, because the main thing that people right now need is a shelter. I mean, when winter is hitting and you don't have a house, it means that you're not safe. And I think the best thing for these people is to bring them somewhere that they can live. But most of people who are not injured, I mean, I'm talking about the people who survived this situation, they are living in wherever their home located, and tents. And some people are trying to help them by bringing them food and something like that, but I think that's not that much useful for them. I mean, that cannot provide the help that they need.
So generally, United Nations promised $5 million to Afghanistan to help with the earthquake. European Union, if I'm not mistaken, is 3.5 euros, but again, it's a pledge. Like, they pledged they will send this aid. And now the problem is how to actually help efficiently in this situation, because as we know, Afghanistan is heavily dependent on humanitarian aid. However, ever since the Taliban took over, most of the organizations decided to leave the country. Also, after the Taliban bill on forbidding women to work in humanitarian organizations, this was a matter of honor for certain organizations, saying we support women's rights and we will not work in a country that doesn't allow women to work. So they withdrew as well. So now a question to both of you, because you're both involved in helping, in aiding. Do you see, or do you know of any specific help with specific big organization? The first part of the question. The second is, how are you able to actually help?
This is a very good question, actually, because earlier, as you mentioned, if you have any international help, if there are other countries who are helping. Yes, Iran has been helping us. I think they have sent, I'm not sure about this, but I think it was 120 people who came to help from Iran, and they have trained dogs, and this is very helpful. And yeah, so they are trying to get people out of the dust still. However, most of them are dead, but we are hoping that there are some survivors. And how to donate? I don't know where you can donate, because like I wouldn't say anywhere is very much valid. As Zubair said, there are people who want to help, but they don't know how to help. For example, I was talking to Zubair earlier. He said that people need shelter, people need essential things. But these donations, people with these donations, they buy toys for the people, for the children who lost their parents. And this is not very needy. So if people want to donate their money somewhere, they have to be sure where this money goes to.
Yes, Yasser, you're right. There is no guaranteed link that you can donate through that, and you get sure that your donation is going to be somewhere that is essential or useful. Actually, as Yasser said before, there are some YouTubers or some influencers that they are trying to just make some videos about this, and they are recording, they are actually talking to a boy, a young man that lost his whole family, and in return they are giving that little boy some toys, like a little car or something like that. And I think this is actually disrespectful to the loss that happened to that boy. And I don't know, maybe they are just doing this for likes and views, or maybe they don't know what to do with the money that the people gave them. I mean, they invite people to trust them, and then they don't know how to spend that money.
But even the attitude of Taliban is against this help. Just before we started recording this episode, I was with Majid, and he read the news that Taliban refused the help from Pakistan. They were like, we're going to send you people, going to send you this food. And they said, no, we don't
Taliban
want
it. Taliban didn't refuse it. The Pakistan army didn't let the aid to come from Pakistan to Afghanistan.
But it's not coordinated.
No. It was the Pakistan's army who didn't let the aid to enter Afghanistan. It wasn't the Taliban.
You see, but it's very weird. Like, how can the Pakistani government say we're going to help you and the army stops it? Aren't they the same? This is very... And only the people are victims here. Only the people suffering day in, day out.
Was there any explanation of why they didn't allow the aid to cross?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think so. What I heard that, it was also in my story last night. Now it's time's finished, so it's gone. But what I understood, the military stopped it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. So the political situation, as always, impacts civilians.
Make it worse, of course.
Yes, absolutely. So moving a little bit towards Pakistan, first of all, do people try to flee right now Afghanistan because of this situation?
That is a good question. And people are trying to live here since maybe 2.5 years. But after this what happened, everybody is trying to live here just. They don't want to live here anymore, and because there is no such thing as guaranteed life here. I mean, everything is trying to kill us here, and we all just want to live. And I think that's not a high expectation. We just want to live, and that makes us to leave our country.
You know, we should also consider that in order to flee from Afghanistan, you need money. And these people, they didn't have money in the banks or anywhere safe. So their money was in their houses. Now they lost everything. They don't have anything.
Regarding fleeing the country, I want to ask you a little bit about the current situation. So the Taliban government has been shutting down the passport offices. So they opened, they shut down, they reopened again. What is the situation right now? Are people allowed to apply for a passport to leave the country legally if they wish to?
Actually, after they let the passports organization go on again, everybody, I say everybody, I mean that every single one here, they was attacking actually to that organization trying to have their passports because nobody wants to live here anymore. But that was the reason that they couldn't actually serve all these people. They shut it down again, and I don't know when they are going to have the ability to give all these people passports, but there are lots of people who, even though they got their passports and they have nowhere to go, I mean, they don't have the money and they don't know where to go, and even if they go somewhere, they don't know how their life is going to look like in that new country, because as you know that there are lots of racism going on everywhere against Afghan people right now. So I can say that nowhere is safe for us as Afghan people.
I'm interested to know the difference between the response system for this kind of disasters before Taliban, when Afghanistan was under the Americans and under the previous government. So what was the response system? How the government dealt with this kind of disasters? Is the same way Taliban are doing? Because from this lot of reports and pictures, they are saying like some areas people dug for their own loved ones with their own hands. There was no help.
Yes.
Earthquakes are not that rare in Afghanistan in general, right? Because of the geography of your country. They happen. I think last year in summer months, there was another earthquake that was pretty powerful.
2022, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, earthquake is not rare here, but in Herat, I can't remember any earthquake here. I mean, any earthquake that was this much dangerous. So there is no such thing as a rescue team who are trained for such condition, and that is why that most of my people died right here. I mean, if there was some people who have been trained how to rescue people from the mud and the dust, they will be living right now. At least, even though they were injured, they would live a little bit longer. But I cannot say that if the government wouldn't change, the situation would be better. I mean, they didn't survive that much because they were not that much good. I'm not supporting Taliban, but they are trying their best to serve people, and most of the army of these men are working right now. When I say right now, I mean after what happened. They are trying to dig, and even by their hands, because they have no such thing as facilities or equipment to dig through them. So they are trying to help people, but they cannot do that much because they are fighters. They are not rescuers, and they used to kill people. All they know is how to kill, not how to rescue.
Well, that's a powerful statement.
Exactly. And, earthquakes are rare in Herat. But not in north of Afghanistan. In north of Afghanistan, it's quite common. This is also why that the people were also shocked. We are shocked. We didn't know I was in Afghanistan. Since I was in Afghanistan, I remember that there was only two earthquakes, and it wasn't strong at all. Like, we didn't even feel it. We just heard from the news that there was an earthquake in Herat. But in northern part of Afghanistan, it's more common to have earthquakes. This is also one of the reasons that people were not ready at all. They didn't know about it. And they're still not ready. They don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a very short break right now. And our listeners and viewers maybe noticed that we have a short commercial in the during this break. And we are actually advertising for ourselves until we find a very ethical and interesting partner to advertise who would like to sponsor this podcast. I encourage everybody to apply for this position. We will advertise ourselves because we believe that we're doing quite a good job with our programming. So here's a bit more about Refocus as such.
We're the best. Sponsor us.
Hi, I'm Sonia.
And I'm Doug.
And we're the founders of Refocus Media Labs. Our foundation was created in 2018 to give refugees modern media skills so badly needed in places like this, Lesbos, Greece. We created a studio here on Lesbos, and we are trying to teach people photography, video editing, graphic design, filmmaking, to allow them to enter job markets here in Europe, but also to give them a platform to showcase their work.
My name is Yasser. I've started to join Refocus in 2019. We were students. We had no idea that we are going to be a citizen journalist one day. We were just coming to classes to learn new skills, just like the new students right now. And we were interested and motivated by taking photos every day, having a camera in our hands, and doing something that normally a person couldn't do in the island.
One, two, three.
What Refocus is doing is serving and teaching students every day, two shifts, and what they're teaching, photography, videography, it's the skill that they can improve and over time in the future use it to have a job.
And her eyes, her face is red on that PowerPoint.
The goal here is that this is the start of a career, or this is at least the start of a chance for them to have an equitable future.
The beautiful thing that's happening is that our most advanced students are some of our teachers. And they are showing to the new student, who is them just a year ago, that this is possible and that this is something that they can push for.
It's so crucial, so critical to give those skills and those tools to refugees here to make sure that they are creative, that they are artists, that they are journalists, that they are something more than being just a refugee, this label that the whole world puts on them.
What makes me different is that I am able to share my voice with the media, with the skills I've learned. Whenever somebody take a look at our news, they feel it. They feel that they are in the situation.
Welcome back after the break. We're discussing the situation in Afghanistan after the very deadly earthquake last week. Zubair, you mentioned that one of the main things that is needed right now is housing, some kind of a shelters, because as you said, we're facing winter and people cannot stay outside in winter in Afghanistan. What are other needs? I'm asking maybe specifically also about water, for example. I read that water in Herat, in many areas of Herat province turned brown, that it's not a drinkable water. Is there anything else that is really very, very needed at the moment?
Actually, that's a good question, but imagine that you lost your everything. You need anything. I mean, the shelter was the most essential, but you need water, you need food, you need clothes, because you have nothing left for yourself. Now that there are some businessmen actually who promised that they are going to build a town for these people who lost their houses, but there was some people who did these promises before and they forgot their promise. That's why we cannot trust anymore. And as you said that in many places the water is brown and undrinkable, so they need maybe somewhere that they can live for at least until they build their houses, and maybe the water, the food, the clothes, and anything that you can imagine. But nothing can take the damage in their soul. I mean, now they are wounded and they just need someone to support them, even mentally. I mean, In here, we don't do that kind of stuff, therapy or something like that. But imagine when someone is losing everything in his mental, state, he has nothing left for himself. I don't know if I can get to that point that I mean, but mm-hmm. everything is essential right now.
Yeah.
Whatever you can think of that you're using in your daily life, they need that.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that there's also no psychological aid provided.
No way.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's needed, but there is no one taking care of that.
It's not a situation. They are living in the tents and they have no peace of mind. And I watched one interview with one of them. He said, "We are afraid that the ground will open and swallow us at any moment." So you are in a tent, you have nothing, and you are afraid that this is going to happen again.
Because it was not one earthquake. There were several earthquakes. Yeah. And 3 days later, another big earthquake, right? So no wonder people are really, really scared. And Zubair Yasser, maybe I'm looking for your comment, or maybe I just want to comment that it's been so hard on people of Afghanistan the last years, decades, basically. And seeing how those images that were coming to us from Afghanistan, and winter is coming, the country has been absolutely dependent on humanitarian aid even before the Taliban took over power, but now the situation is even worse. Like, I'm very, very negative about anything really changing for better for people of Afghanistan.
Actually, there is no hope. We don't have any hope. Like, there is no group or organization, because we cannot accept our murderers, the people who murdered us, as our leaders. Now, Taliban are not our leaders. They are not our presidents, and we don't accept them as a government. Because we recognize them as our murderers and as a terrorist group. But we also don't have any hope. And who can we trust? There is no group fighting them back, because, well, there are several reasons. First reason, the people are tired of this war. If you see people being satisfied with Taliban, they are not satisfied with Taliban. They are just tired of war. They don't want to have it anymore. There is no hope. I'm also negative on this issue, because who can we trust? Who can we fight along with? We know our enemy, and we know who's terrorizing us every day, who's not supporting us, and is now pretending to be our leaders. The hope is gone.
Yeah, we understand.
It's a long silence that actually speaks a volume. Yasser, you're trying to help from abroad. Zubair is there. The progress is basically minimum. And I do want to now point fingers, but this information was in news when it happened, meaning Saturday. And then, of course, Hamas attacked Israel, and then this took over news. However, even if this wouldn't happen, if the situation in Israel and Palestine would be relatively stable, if we can talk about any stability in this region, I do not believe that Afghanistan would be in the center of international news with this earthquake anyways. And this is the massive problem actually that we're facing, that whatever is happening in Afghanistan, and there are really absolutely terrifying things happening nonstop ever since the Taliban took over power, we really don't see it reported. We don't see it reported constantly. It's a fast news, as if it's nothing that is part of something bigger, something that turns the society here in Afghanistan into this, like, into a hopeless people. the thing that you mentioned, that people have no hope right now, because it's not only about this tragedy. They do not have hope in the Taliban government as an efficient body, but also in their values, right? So again, not pointing fingers, but why aren't media at all interested in what is happening in this country?
Well, because the internationals have lost their interest in Afghanistan. Until they were in Afghanistan, I don't know how can I call it, but I would call it an invasion by the West in Afghanistan. And until they were there, until they had interest in Afghanistan, until they could take something from Afghanistan, there was some attention in Afghanistan. But now that they fulfilled their desires in Afghanistan, of course they don't care about it. They didn't care about it in the first place. The reason that the U.S. Or let's say the West came to Afghanistan, it was to kill Osama bin Laden. And Osama bin Laden at that moment wasn't in Afghanistan at all. He was in Pakistan. So we can say that there were interests. They got their what they were interested in, and they left Afghanistan, and they didn't care about the people in the first place. This is so when there is no interest, of course they are not going to also report about it. And now that the attention is in Israel and Palestine. Because again, there is an interest there. If there is no interest, no one's gonna take care of that. No, and the media of Afghanistan, yes, the YouTubers are going there. The YouTubers are, of course, for their views and likes, they are reporting about the situation, which is not very helpful because they are not professional journalists. They don't know how to report on the situation. So what they are reporting on is also not very much clear. And their voices are also coming back to Afghans because they speak Farsi. And the internationals, they cannot understand what they are saying or what's happening in Afghanistan. So there is no one to unfold the situation mm-hmm. in Afghanistan right now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Zubair, do you see any news stations, media in Herat right now reporting on the situation? International ones, I'm asking.
Actually, they are all busy with the war. The very thing that people want to hear about that is war, killing people, having guns, shooting at each other and something like that. That's why that no one is talking about us. And I don't want to sound rude, but I think it's better to talk about the kindness of the people instead of talking about the mistakes of politicians or something like that. Because if we want to talk about that kind of stuff, it would be an infinity podcast. I mean, it would never end. There are lots of mistakes, and there will be lots of mistakes that they will make. But it would be much more interesting and maybe inspirational that if we talk about the things that people did for their people and for what sacrifices the people did for their citizens or countrymen.
So let's talk actually about it for a moment. In this really dire situation in Afghanistan, are people from other regions able to show this kindness and help people in Herat province? The humanitarian situation is so terrible right now in the country. Is there even anything they can do to make sure that that they support people in this region? Is there something to share?
By the people themselves?
Yeah.
Yes, maybe Zubair can explain people that
are.
Better.
Yes. 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 I think it was maybe 2 or 3 hours before the podcast that I was scrolling through social media, and I saw that there was a lady, I mean, maybe she was over 50 years old, crying and talking about Herat and Afghanistan. I think she was from Tajikistan. I'm not sure, but that was one of neighbor countries. And she was talking and saying that I want to help them, but I don't know how. And she brought a lot of clothes and things that she thought can be helpful. And I think there are lots of people trying to help us, but there is no direct link that they can help. That's why they couldn't help us yet. But I'm sure that if there was a trustable link, they would help us as much as they could.
Sonia was asking about the Afghan people, the people who are now living in Afghanistan and are from Afghanistan. As you told me earlier, that about the wedding firms and you can also mention those.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, there are lots of people helping. As I mentioned before, there are businessmen who promised that they are going to build a town for these people. And there are lots of people trying to help them get out of that collapsed houses. And let me tell you like this. The first day when it happened, when we noticed that where was this disaster the most distraction, I went there to help people, but there was nothing that we could do because, as Yasser mentioned before, there was all dust and we couldn't dig through that dust with our hands. So I decided to go in hospital and donate some blood. And I was in line for 3 hours. I mean, I wanted to donate some blood and it took me 3 hours in line to reach that doctor who was taking my blood to help those injured people. And also there are some private hospitals who are serving people for free right now. And everybody's trying to help their people right now. I mean, right now that I'm talking to you, there are people guarding houses because everybody is outside. So it might be dangerous for their houses. Maybe someone's trying to rob their houses. Every man is actually robbing. Every man is actually trying to guard the other's houses. Everyone is waked up a whole night, and they are trying to protect their neighbors and their people.
Yes, and about the shelters, I have also heard that there are schools who are now sheltering the people, as Zubair's family right now are in this school that you just showed. And there are also wedding firms, wedding halls, who are sheltering people, the displaced people, and now they are living in the wedding firms. Maybe Zubair can
talk
about
that. Yes, exactly, yes, sir. Yes, you're right. As I showed before, I don't know if you could take that picture. Right now, my family are living actually in Thames, and inside a school. And there are lots of schools. There are lots of universities, actually. And the main university in Herat is now open to the people that they can go there and live until the situation is normal again and they can live in their houses.
You think with all this, the media should do their job because it's a disaster. And today I was listening to a spokesman from the food program organization, the World Food Program. He said it's a disaster on top of a disaster. He said there are 15 million people who don't know where their next meal will come from. And this organization, he said, we can only support 3 million because we don't have the money. And that's why this podcast is like dedicated to this kind of issues, that because the media are not doing their job, so we are here for this.
Yes, you're right. There are two kind of people. I think media are made of two kind of people. The first, the people who try to take some views and try to have something for themselves, and the second part is the people who try to help actually. And I hope that this podcast, actually, as I know Refocus, they are good people. And I hope that this podcast is going to help my people. That's why I'm here. And I'm sure that this is going to help a lot of people in my country. So you're right. Media can help, but I'm not sure that why they are not focusing right now. Maybe that's because they love war and killing each other. And they want the attention that they can get from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are living in a world where wars are much more appreciated to be funded than humanitarian actions.
Yeah. Yeah, and war, even war in Afghanistan is not something new anymore. I mean, we are living in war. Actually, I was born in war, and maybe my kids are going to be born in war. So there's nothing new about an Afghan being killed. That's why they are not interested in such kind of stuff.
Yasser, Zubair, thank you very much for connecting to us in those difficult times. I'm sorry we're ending on this negative note, except for this human kindness that you mentioned. There's nothing really positive to say about this situation. We want to wish you, especially you, Zubair, a lot of strength in this situation. All our thoughts go to your family, your relatives, people of Afghanistan, and we can only hope for some improvement of the situation.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much for having us and being our voice. And thanks to Fracture Podcast and Refocus Media Labs.
When I think that there are people who take care of me and actually care about my people, it means a lot to me. It means the world. Thanks for everything.
Thank you for connecting. And fingers crossed, we're going to be asking Yasser about you and your situation and your friends. And this was probably a bit maybe formal, but if you need something, if you think like we personally can help in anything, please just reach out from like, again, human standpoint. We are a small organization, but we are always trying to have positive impact on individuals. So anything that is needed or you personally need, please just reach out, okay?
I can stop that voice in my mind that I decided to stay here and not leave my people here.
I think the only thing that Afghans need now, even more than food and water, is education.
When I think that there are people who take care of me and actually care about my people, it means a lot to me. It means the world.
Even if it's such a tragedy like this earthquake, as you said, it became such a normal thing.
You know, you guys are both in your own ways, in your own geographical places right now, elevating the value that you're talking about. So don't stop.
You know, maybe let's have this realistic dream. Maybe one day it's safe for us to go and visit you.